across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
And I'm joined now by Tony Rogers. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Ian.
A member of the team at Cambridge Tour Guides.
Indeed.
And I see you. We have a date every other month, don't
we? Yes, aren't we lucky?
We are, indeed. Yeah, and you always get dressed up for me with your blazer. Yeah, your blue stripy tour guide blazer. And you were saying when you came in that you've been you're always busy in the summer, but you've been really busy over the last few weeks.
We have been indeed, yes. We're not complaining, mind.
No. And you're off to do some tours when you finish.
Yes, I am. Yes.
Brilliant.
Indeed. Yeah.
And do you, will you be in the, what types of tours are you doing? Are you doing the centre or?
Well, mainly the centre, mainly historicals. When we do all types of tours, like kings and queens, we do science tours, ghost tours, royal tours, any type of tours, basically.
Brilliant. And kings is what we're gonna talk
indeed,
about. And
yes.
I know when you and I often refer back to this, but when we first met, when I asked you and Chris to start coming on and talking to me about the history of this fantastic city, you said, if you were going to do this, you've got to come on a tour. So I went on a tour with you. And you
regretted it ever since. Yeah.
I loved every moment of it. No, I did. It was great fun. And one of the places we stopped was King's. Probably, I don't know, would you say in terms of pictures of Cambridge, it's probably our most to look at anyway. It's the image that a lot of people would think of if they think of Cambridge University. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, exactly. It's the most iconic building in Cambridge, possibly one of the most iconic buildings in the country, maybe in the world. You see a picture of Eiffel Tower and you immediately think of Paris.
Yes.
You see a picture of King's and you immediately think of Cambridge. It's that same sort of connection, I think.
Yes, I think you're right. And the other thing that I like about King's is whether you're looking at it from across the backs on the cam or whether you're over in the market square, it looks equally spectacular from whichever side you look at it from.
Indeed,
doesn't it?
It is. It's amazing. It's a miracle of medieval engineering because you've got to think that it was constructed effectively by stonemasons with a hammer and a chisel.
Yes.
No modern tools, obviously, no modern lifting gear, obviously no computers, and you'd be hard-pressed today to replicate it exactly. It would cost millions, and maybe the workmanship wouldn't be as good as, because a lot of trades have been lost over the centuries. So I don't think it would be very difficult to replicate it.
And do we know how long it took to build?
Yeah, it took nearly 100 years to build.
Gosh.
Over the reign of five of our kings, Henry VI founded it in 1471. Henry VI was probably one of the worst kings we've ever had on the throne of England. He was half French to start with, but we mustn't read too much into that. He was 9 months old when he inherited the throne. He was very religious and pious, and he was very weak and ineffective, basically.
And he was it his idea or
His idea to found it basically.
And was that the first of the colleges that made up the university?
No, we go way back. We go back to Peterhouse, which is 1284.
Right.
So that's the very first. Don't you remember when I told you?
I think I do. Yes, sorry. You're going to be giving me giving me a detention after I forgot that, aren't you? So in terms of Kings, what was the rationale behind it coming into existence?
Well, I think Henry VI wanted to found a college in connection with also a school, because a year earlier he'd founded Eton College.
Right.
And there's a connection. The other place begins with O and ends with D.
Indeed.
Which we don't talk about, between New College and Winchester. And he wanted to replicate that. And in fact, he founded Eton in 1440. He founded a college, King's College, a year later, on the basis that all the students who reached the required levels of grammar would go to King's.
Ah.
And Eton students, they only took Eton students right up until the 1860s, believe it or not.
That's interesting.
It's a very strong links between Eton, in the past anyway, not quite so much now, but in the past there were very strong links between King's and Eton.
Are there still connections, though?
But not as strong. They reckon that most Cambridge colleges will accept 50% from the state, 50% from the public, very rough figures.
Yes.
It's slightly different at King's. It's more 80% from the state and 20%, they tell me, from the 20% from the public. Yes. Yeah.
And members of the royal family, I think, have been at King's, haven't they? Was it Prince Andrew there, or have I got that?
No, I think that... No, Prince Andrew. No, I think William came to... He was at St Andrews, but he came and did a 10-week course attached loosely to St John's, but
did
it was
he?
Just
oh,
a
okay.
personal course for him.
For some reason, I thought one of the... One
no,
of them.
Prince Charles went to Trinity.
Ah, that's
and
one.
Prince Edward went to Jesus College.
Right, but yeah. None of them made it into King's.
No, none of them King's. No, no, exactly.
And those... those towers, they're quite striking, aren't they? And there have been a few interesting things that have gone on with those.
Yeah, there's a few sort of stories. Some of them might be slightly apocryphal, but a lot of things have been put up on top of those turrets. They think probably about 1982, there was a bicycle put up there, basically.
Really?
Yeah, and that confused the college authorities somewhat because, yeah, anything out of the ordinary in Cambridge, college authorities and university authorities get easily confused. And it took them quite some time. They tried to get a ladder at the front, to you know, health and safety and all that. Failed. They invited a local fire brigade to come down with a fire engine, an extending ladder on the back. But because no one's allowed on the grass, except the fellows and their guests, they wouldn't allow the fire engine to go on the grass. And the extending ladder of the day wouldn't quite reach from the road. So they had to employ a firm of scaffolders to start building a scaffold tower adjacent that turret at the front. And the next working day, they probably got three quarters of the way up. Going to come back the following day, finish off the scaffold tower, take the bike down. They came back the next day, and what do you think had happened?
I don't know.
Well, one, the bike had gone.
Yes.
Two, where do you think the bike had gone?
It hadn't gone to the other tower.
Yes, it had gone to the other tower, which completely confused the authorities. And they were very worried that it would then travel around the top of the chapel. So they mounted a 24-hour guard of college porters at the base of that right-hand turret where the bike was now to stop them coming back, whoever they might be, and moving it around. No one's ever owned up. They've never found out who did it, but they think there's a very shadowy, unofficial, frowned-upon undergraduate club here in Cambridge called, surprisingly, the Night Climbers Club of Cambridge. The name will give you a little bit of a clue as to what they get up to. They go about at night putting things on tall buildings. A few years ago, there was a toilet seat on that left-hand one.
Yes.
Looked like a halo right at the top. And I think it's in 2009 now, Christmas Eve, lo and behold, we came down, we found there were a Father Christmas hat on all four turrets.
Really?
And the college were not exactly full of festive spirit at the time because it cost them a lot of money to get a firm of steeplejacks to take down the four Father Christmas hats. So you get there's a myriad of stories about what they get up to, these night climbers.
I know, they're pranksters, aren't they?
Yeah,
and so I got the royal family wrong, but any alumni that I would know from who went to King's?
You've probably heard of Rupert Brooke, the poet,
there.
Yes. E.M. Forster was there, Passage to India. Salman Rushdie was there for a while. Zadia Smith, the current authoress. And also Maynard Keynes.
Yes,
the economist.
Keynes
had a
theory.
Huge influence on the economic world. Yeah, that's about it, I think. There's probably a few others I've probably forgotten, but those are the main ones.
So how many students would be, in this day and age, studying at King's at any one time?
There would be probably about 600 or so.
Right.
And normally it's a 2-to-1 ratio between sort of undergraduates to... postgraduates, basically.
And particular area of specialisation? Is it literature, English, that kind of thing?
Not so much now, no. There's 31 colleges, as you know, and there are about 30 subjects you can apply for as an undergraduate, but not all the colleges do all 30 subjects.
Right.
I know, for instance, King's do not do veterinary medicine, basically, and some of the other colleges don't do some. They don't do land economy, is another favourite one that a lot of sportsmen have done in the past.
Yes.
But some of the colleges don't offer that now.
And the gardens at the front that you see, they're quite spectacular, quite open, whereas some of the colleges you have to kind of go through into a courtyard. You can see... hit the microphone. See quite an impressive lawn at the front of the college. Are there other gardens as you go
As you go
behind?
Back, you go behind. If you go into the main court, you'll see in front of you the Gibbs Building, white Portland stone.
Yes.
That's probably about 1730. And then beyond that, great lawns that go down to the river, basically.
Yes.
But you're not allowed to walk on them.
And is that anybody or
no? It's the people who are allowed to walk on the lawns are the fellows and their guests.
Right.
And that goes back to medieval times when if you wanted to live in a college, you were not allowed to marry. And they said, okay, for agreeing not to marry, come and live in the college, and just to soften the blow will allow you to walk on the grass.
That's
and I think it's a very reasonable quid pro quo, quite honestly.
Sounds like a good deal.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're nearly out of time, but before I let you go, is there anything we've forgotten to talk about with Kings?
Oh, well, there's lots of things we've forgotten to talk about. Yeah, the windows, 26 magnificent windows. They're the glories of European Renaissance. There is the Rubens picture in the West End. I mean, that's a magnificent. There's the choir, obviously,
of course,
the world famous choir,
King's College choir
that people can come and listen to Evensong during term time. They're also famous for the nine lessons in carol service, all carols from Kings now, which is broadcast BBC Two about 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve. It goes out worldwide. They reckon there's an audience of about 200 million listen to this.
Really,
yeah, it's spectacular.
Wow. And I would think that's quite lucrative for the college as well, because they put out CDs.
Yes, they do, exactly.
Kind of
yes, yeah,
so
exactly.
A commercial sort of angle to all of that.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
This is the trouble, you see. We get about 10 minutes together. We pick one subject because we think, well, we can only get through one subject in 10 minutes. Yeah. We haven't even got enough time to talk about the one subject.
No, exactly. And the carvings in the ante-chapel are spectacular. The rood screen separating the ante-chapel from the choir or sanctuary end, that's fantastic. So lots and lots of things to talk about.
And if people want to go and take a look around, can you just turn up and go in? Or
no, you have to pay. You have to pay £10 for adults, £8 for students, and you have to get tickets from the shop opposite the front of King's College shop in King's Parade.
Excellent.
So it is quite a commercial exercise.
Yeah, well, let's hope. I mean, one of the reasons we do this is, you know, particularly some people who have lived in Cambridge all their life, all this wonderful history around them, sometimes it's quite nice to go and take a look around. I grew up in Harrow.
We've all got problems. Yeah.
I know. Well, I grew up in Harrow, and it wasn't until about 3 years ago that I actually went on a tour of the Harrow School.
Oh, right, right.
Because I didn't go there because they wouldn't let me in there. But that was fascinating, I have to say. And I was working here at the time, and I think that's when I began to think, well, you know, you can live somewhere all your life.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful history around you and not always go and enjoy it.
Yeah,
so I'm hoping that...
It's the same with a lot of students. They come and study here for 3 years and they're having a good time enjoying themselves, perhaps doing a little bit of work, sport. I've done quite a lot of reunions after 10, 20, 30 years. They come back in a group and I take them round and they say, well, I haven't heard this story. I've never been here. And that's a common theme because you're here for 3 years. You're having a really good time, but you don't really take in all the history and whatever and the architectural styles around.
I think that's common with university as well.
Well, it is, yeah.
You know, people go to university
to
do that. But it must give you a sense of... do you get a buzz if you take someone who's been here at uni for 3 years, they come back for a tour and they learn things that they didn't know?
Oh, yeah, of course it does. Yes.
Excellent. Well, listen, Tony, listen, lovely to chat to you. Fascinating
Thank
to
you.
Hear about the history of Kings. I think Chris will be joining me, in fact, on my first show back from my holiday break that I'm about to go on the, I think it's the 28th of September. So, Tony Rogers from Cambridge Tours, thank you for coming in.
Pleasure.
Off to do another tour. And we're going to quickly catch up with the latest travel.